Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody tonight. Have a couple of prayer requests that we need to address before we get started with the lesson. One, got information that Sherry Bolden, one of our new members, is homesick today. We need to remember her. And Chris and Karen submitted a request for prayers for their daughter Sarah and son-in-law Dustin. Sarah's job is coming to an end, and they're trying to figure out where to settle down and kind of what door to open up next. And that would drive me crazy. We were talking about Sunday morning about control and the future and stuff. I've been at the same job for 39 years. I couldn't do that. And then there's Chris and Karen, that I don't care how old your children get, they're always your babies. And so let's go to God on behalf of these right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We thank you for the physical blessings, but also the spiritual blessings, the blessings of your word, the church, each other, and prayer, that we can come before our Heavenly Father and make our requests known to you. Dear God, we come on behalf of Sherry right now, Sherry Bolden, that she's not feeling well. A number of us here have been dealing with allergies and different medical issues. We ask that you be with all of us. Our desire is that you keep us strong and healthy to be able to serve you. Not for our sake, but to be able to serve you. Dear God, we ask that you comfort Sherry. If the doctors are treating her, that they treat her properly. Dear God, we come to you on behalf of Sarah and Dustin. It's a little scary to take a different direction in life. We ask that whatever they do, work-related, wherever they decide to live, that they will put you first, that they will serve you and you only. Dear God, we ask that whatever decision they make the best of it, and we hope that they feel it's the right one. We ask that you be with Chris and Karen. It's hard to let go. It's hard to let your children be adults and to make decisions. And you understand that. You understand that with sending your son with free will here to us. We thank you for that. We ask that you be with our request, be with us the rest of this worship service to you. We hope that everything that has and will be done in accordance with your will, that everything is pleasing and glorifying to you, and that we do everything in spirit and in truth. We thank you for hearing our prayers, and we pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We are in Philippians, the third chapter, and we're going to continue on. Tonight we've been the opportunities I've had lately, we've been kind of going through the book of Philippians, and we will be starting in chapter 3, verse 12 tonight. And this that Paul writes, when we read the Bible, God's word, there's different emotions that come up when we read the Bible. We read some passages and they're kind of uncomfortable truths that we sometimes have to face. Maybe we're reminded some of them that are hard for us to do, that it's kind of, we wish it wasn't that way, but it is. Some are right up our personality. This is a passage here. It's almost tailor-made for me. I'm a sucker for stuff like this. To press on, to fight that good fight, regardless of the outcome. I'd have been one of those saps that would have probably been in the military and volunteered for some disaster mission or something, you know. But this, I read this and it speaks to me. I don't know about you, but Paul is speaking to us just like he was speaking to the Philippians. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What an amazing three verses. You know, and it's just, Paul's writing this from Rome in prison. And if there was anybody that could have confidence, it would be Paul. But he says, I haven't reached it yet. I haven't achieved my goal yet. But one thing I do, I'm going to press on. I'm not going to rely on my laurels. I'm not going to rely on what I've done years ago. I'm pressing on to the end. You know, he says, those things which are behind. Some people will want to rest on their laurels. I've seen this in the church quite often. They want to rest on, you know, they don't want to forget those positive things, the years of service that they've committed to God. That they maybe used to preach, or they've taught home Bible studies or something like that. I remember a man one time, kind of, it came across as bragging. 40 years ago, I used to do X, Y, and Z. And I remember thinking to myself, what have you done since? Because I didn't know him back then. And the time that I'd known him, he didn't do diddly squat. And I remember thinking that, but it was almost like he was wanting to rest on what he used to do. You know, I used to attend. You know, I used to be a faithful member of the Lord's church. I'm gonna ride my grandparents' coattails in, or their good works. On the other hand, Paul says, I forget those things which are behind. Sometimes it's negative, and some people have a hard time forgetting the negative stuff. We're trying to run a race, and we're carrying negative baggage with us. People that have been hurt from church splits. People been hurt because somebody gossiped. That's a lesson all in itself right there. Seeing the ugly side of our brethren. And we do have an ugly side. Not all of us, but there are sometimes an ugly worldly side of Christians. And when that shows, that can affect us. People disappointing you. A preacher going rogue. An elder falling away. A person that you looked up to treating you bad. Disappoint a person, though. I heard a preacher say years ago, don't let anybody else send you to hell. Don't let their actions affect you for you to go to hell. But Paul says, forgetting those things are behind. Could you imagine Paul, if he dwelt on what he used to do to the church? He would just look for a shovel to dig a hole and pull the dirt in over him. How can I go on? The guilt that he would have as a Christian, what he did to other Christians. But he presses on. Or I can shift it into cruise control. You know, I'm older. I've put my time in. I've paid my dues. I've established X amount of churches, or I've baptized X amount of people. I deserve to just kind of, these last couple of years, cruise it on out. Let Timothy, that's what I prepared him for. Let Timothy pick it up. I'm gonna retire. I've never seen in scriptures where Christians retire. Never. We serve till the day we die. Or that's what Christ wants from us. But Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, the good things and the bad things, he says, I press on. Oh, what did I do? There we go. In 2 Corinthians 11, he goes through a kind of a credentials list where some of the Corinthians were wanting to rely on works. And he says, that's not what it is. But if you want to play works, let's play. Let's play works. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times, I received 40 stripes. I didn't like getting spanked as a child with my mom's hand. He was whipped 40 times, minus one, 39 whippings. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day, a night, and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the cities. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Talk about the weight of the world. He's telling the Corinthians that, do you want to play the works game? Because I'm not, and you can't even measure up to me. And I'm not doing it. And years after this, when he's writing Philippians, not too long before he would die, saying, I'm forgetting all the things of the past. I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I press on. I press on to the upward call of Christ, the goal. Could you imagine if Paul would have given up then? You know, people that don't finish the race. And at the end, we would see in 2 Timothy where he would tell Timothy, I finished the race. You know, I have fought the good fight. There is laid up a crown of righteousness for me. He was confident. But he's saying here in Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm pressing on. Whatever I've done, good and bad, it's not about the past. It's where I'm going. It's about my next step. You look at some of the things we, as Christians, have endured ourselves. You know, when we become a Christian, people may ridicule us, get a lot of criticism. Maybe people that knew you before and find out that you're a Christian. And sometimes you got to eat a little crow as a Christian. You know, you've changed your old life, but sometimes people want to bring it up. And you've got to choke it down and press on. We face, you know, oh, you're Mr. Goody Two Shoes now. Financial issues. Sometimes people say, you give all that money to the church? You give it to God? God don't have no bank account. You're just giving it, you know, you're giving all that money away. Think of what you could do with all that money. Have you ever lost a friend due to being a Christian? That you just don't see eye to eye, or family, friends or family, because you don't see eye to eye religiously. And not that you cut them off, but they've cut you off. You still love them, and you would love to be an influence on them. You might have had to change your activities or lifestyles. You might have used to do certain things that you realize you can't do now. You can't do as a Christian. You can't go there. You can't go there. You can't do this. There is nothing that God forbids us from doing that isn't for our best interest. You know, as kids growing up, mom and dad may say, oh, you know, you can't do that. And then you get a little older and you realize why. Because you'd have killed yourself, you know, or you'd have gotten run over, or you would have, you know, done whatever. The time we give to God. Think of how much extra time we had before we were a Christian. Getting up early on a Sunday to go to Bible class. Going to church on Sunday. than maybe coming back on the Sunday night. You've got to be joking. Wednesday night Bible study. A church singing. A gospel meeting. I would have been out having a good time on Friday night. Or whatever. The time. People say, well, what I do on my time is my business. Another thing I don't see in the Bible is where it's our time. It's God's time. And how are we serving? Paul goes on to say in verse 15, he says, therefore, kind of wrapping it up, therefore let us, as many are as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Doctrinally, not personality wise, not, you know, Robin and I are on the same page with Elvis. You know, we're on the same page. Me and Tracy like the same movies. He starts a quote from a movie, I'll finish it. We like the same movies. It's not talking about that. Look at the diversity of people, the different ages, the different cultural backgrounds, the different genders, but we all have the same mind in Christ. Goes on to say, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. Paul could say, you follow me as I follow Christ. I want to be able to do that. Paul could do that. Follow my example and note those who also do. Be aware of those. Flock to them. Surround yourself with those people. Let them be examples and strengthen you. That we've got a pattern. And it's not like the teaching in the world that, oh, everybody's going to the same place. They're just going in different directions. They're just getting there in a different way. No, you follow the people that are following the pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Their mind is not on God and spiritual, it's on worldly things. And he ends up this chapter, for our citizenship is in heaven. You just need to stop for just a second. The citizens in Philippi had been granted Roman citizenship. It was the site of a very big Roman battle that kind of saved the day way back when. And as a reward, they were given citizenship. And a lot of retired Roman soldiers, when they retired, settled in Philippi because they were granted some land. It was on what was called the Great Northern Highway. It linked the east with the west. And for a land invasion, they would go straight through Philippi. And they prided themselves with their citizenship. Look at how Paul, when people would mistreat him, and he'd tell them, you know, are you going to treat a Roman citizen this way? And when they found out, oh my goodness, we did this, this, and this to him, and he's a Roman citizen, we are going to be in big trouble, because they had rights. And Paul is telling people that had Roman citizenship, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Paul would write in to the Romans kind of the same thing, but from a do not aspect. He will tell the Romans, don't conform to this world, but transform yourself by the renewing of your mind with the knowledge of God's word. And here Paul is telling them, you're going to be transformed. And how do we transform ourselves? His word. The more of that word that we have in us, that's what's going to set our path. Paul ends up chapter 3 here, and the next time, I think it's next month, can't remember which day, we'll get into chapter 4. Chapter 4 is tremendous, but wanted to finish up chapter 3 today, and we always like to offer an invitation. Be sure and tell Dick that we finished 10 minutes early. He'll kick himself, you know. He doesn't like going over. I gave him 12 extra minutes here, and he's not here. Anyway, if anybody needs to respond to the invitation through baptism, we had two baptisms yesterday. Scott Briggs baptized his granddaughter, Leah, and his grandson Trent, and what's that? Trip, excuse me, not Trent, Trip. And they're elated. That's the greatest thing, to see your loved ones be baptized. Anyway, if we can be of service to you for baptism, prayer, repentance, if you need to repent of sin, whatever your need, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand.